All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be chatting with an individual who's going to be competing at Uriah Faber's A1 Combat, the third event, and that goes down on May the 29th for the vacant A1C Flyweight Championship. Jack Duffy and Keanu Moyer getting out there on UFC Fight Pass, and excited to be welcoming Keanu onto the show again. How's your day going so far, man?
It's going good. I already had practice this morning. I had boxing sparring this morning, and then I got to run later today, so it's going good. It's pretty awesome. I'm so excited for this fight coming up, and yeah, man, it's just every single day, it's just a daily routine for me. To be a martial artist is really just a real blessing, and it's amazing, honestly.
Yeah, and I was listening to some of our kind of older interviews there, and just like that appreciation coming through and a lot of the interviews, like never losing sight of the fact that this was a dream for you. Like, how do you, I guess, keep grounded within that? Is it something you have to be like conscious about, like getting lost in like the daily grind of it? Or is it just like you're always beaming, just realizing this was your dream since you were a younger lad?
Man, honestly, it's just, if you've been doing it for so long, like I have, it's just, it's became my life. It's my whole entire life. Everything revolves around fighting, you know, and to be a true martial artist, you have to train in every martial arts, you know, and I take that very serious. That's why today I was training in boxing, sparring, and then later on today I'll be doing my cardio, going for a run. So it's just, I take every aspect of martial arts very serious, and it's just became my whole life. Yeah, it's became my whole life.
Yeah, I mean, I love talking to you about that kind of stuff. Like, you really have that, like, ethos of, like, the lifestyle of a martial artist going for you, no doubt. But before we were talking, you were saying that the timeline leading into this fight was a bit crazy. I'm sort of wondering what you mean by that. Like, what are the details behind that there?
It's just my upcoming opponent, Jack Duffy, was supposed to fight, my last opponent that beat me, Jesse Tafoya, for the vacant belt. And they got into a little scuffle at the weigh-ins, and Jesse ended up getting suspended, wasn't able to take the fight coming up later on this month. So they reached out to me, the matchmaker did, and they didn't reach out to me, they reached out to my manager, and they offered me the fight. And yeah, I'm just, it's not very heard of or very common to come off of a loss and then get a title shot, especially so quickly. Like, I just fought in February, and now I'm fighting again. It's now owned by Uriah Faber, so it's a different promotion, but it's still the same matchmakers and everything, and the same guys that are running it behind the scenes. So it's I'm used to this, and I'm just, yeah, it's just crazy how things work. It really is basically like a butterfly effect, really. Me and Jack have a little bit of a backstory, which is pretty which helps. It doesn't motivate me more. I'm motivated all the time, but it really does light a fire under my ass a little bit, because when people run their mouth to me, I love shutting their mouth, and I love being doubted, and it just lights a fire under my ass. It really does, and yeah, I'm super pumped to go out there and put on a show for everybody and get this W.
Yeah, there's a lot of intriguing components leading into this fight. Yeah, very interesting that it's still like the same lineal kind of promotion, but I was liking how, I guess, you took the last fight there, because, I mean, like you said, it was like a fairly quick outing there, but I mean, you just looked at it in a lot of regards as like, oh yeah, well, you know, I got out there with like a really game tough opponent and everything like that, and just, you know, is what it is sort of thing. So like, I guess, what were the main takeaways from that last one? It probably just emboldened the effort in the gym even further, like that already strong work ethic. It seems like you probably took it in that kind of way, I would think.
Honestly, just, you learn so much more from a loss than you do from a win, and you can win over and over, but when you take that, when you take a significant loss like I did, like I've never been dropped like that. I've never been TKO'd like that. That was my first time, whether amateur or pro, that was my first time, and I just got caught for the first time, and you learn so much from it. You learn, yeah, man, you really, when you win, you know exactly what you did. Whether it was anything that you practiced, you know, it was what was supposed to happen. It's a win. You know, you go in there to win every single time. Nobody goes in there to lose. But when you take that loss, man, it's just really eye opening. It really opened my eyes to a lot of things and made me change up my training a little bit and focus on a lot of different things. And And you got to make sure that you're 100% physically there always, but you got to make sure every fight, no matter what, you're 100% mentally there. Mentally being prepared is so important, honestly. And, you know, I'm just now getting into my sixth fight, so I feel like I'm starting to get a little bit of experience as a pro. And, you know, yeah, just the mental preparation for a fight is very key. And I didn't really realize that until you take a couple losses, and then you start getting your mentality right, and you get your mental strength right, and you just prepare a lot differently. And that's what I'm doing for this fight. I really do take my mental preparation serious.
Yeah, and just to that point, like, what is that, you know, mental prep methodology? Like, how do you get ready for subsequent fights after some of these lessons learned there?
Well, positive affirmations really help. You know, listening to those every morning, making sure that you reaffirm yourself that you are that you're born for this, that you are going to be a champion, that you were made for this, that you're confident in yourself, that you know, just doing stuff like that, doing meditation. Like when I go for my runs, I run with no music, no headphones, and that really that right there is the mental preparation right there, because it's just you out there in that cage. And when you're running, when you get tired, when you get to that, like, I really push myself during my runs. And you just zone out, and that's how it is in the fight. It's just you and your opponent, you guys are in your own world. That's how it is when you're running. So just certain things, you know, it's just stuff like that. Like that really helps out. Really what helps out is prayer as well. Like, you know, praying a lot. I've been also, like, reaching out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, praying to him. And, you know, just, yeah, simple stuff like that. That's the key thing. If things really start getting, like, really tough, eventually in my career I might get a mental coach or, like, a mental coach to help me out. And, you know, but right now, those are just simple things that I'm doing just to help my mental strength. And that has really helped me a lot compared to my last camp.
Yeah, sounds like there's a lot of cool facets to that there. You were talking about, like, the running and stuff like that. Like, in the years we've been doing interviews, it seems like the amount of miles you run a day keeps getting upped and upped. Like, where are we at nowadays in terms of the daily miles for the running?
Man, I try to run every other day to split it out, because I train 6 days a week. So you don't want to overdo it with the running because of how many miles I run per week. But I'm running upwards to 13 to 15 miles per week. So either 3 to 5 miles every session, and that's 3 times a week. So, yeah, and then that's also with training 6 days a week. So by the end of this camp, I should be putting in about 60 miles, 55 to 60 miles, and that's a 4-week camp. So, yeah, that's a lot of miles. That's a lot of cardio, and that's a lot of mental preparation. That's a lot of work on the road. You're there by yourself. It's just you in that cage by yourself, and that's what it's like running. You got to learn how to push yourself.
Yeah, good mentality to have with it. But I was, you know, touching on, like, how long we've been doing interviews there and stuff like that, like, since about, like, late 2017 when you were a 5-1 AMI. We're talking about growth and development and stuff like that. Like, what are the biggest differences between the Keanu Moyer I first talked to and the Keanu Moyer that I'm talking to now?
Oh man, I just grown so much as an adult, as a human being, man. I just matured so much. My mentality has definitely changed in life in general. Like, you know, I know 100% that I'm made for this. This is my career. You know, it's different when you're coming up as an amateur. You know that, you know, especially how long I've been doing it. I've been doing it since I was 15. You know, I knew that this is something that I should take very serious, and it could be a career. But once you go pro, man, it's like, really, you're in the pros, you're a professional fighter. And yeah, man, it's just crazy. I became so much more technical. Like, I'm a real, I used to just be a wild fighter. Like, I would just go in there and just look for the kill, and I'd still do that for sure. But I'm really, like, I like being technical now. I really try to set things up and make sure that, you know, make it look as clean as possible. I want to make sure that my career lasts. I want to have longevity in MMA, and I want to make sure that I'm able to make my career last as long as I wanted to. I don't want to have to fight past a certain point, make money or whatever. I want to be able to retire when I want to. And in order to do that, I got to make sure that I don't get myself hurt in that cage. And that's what I've really worked on. Like, any of my fights, whether I win or lose, I'm not getting hurt. And that's really important. And especially as a pro, that's really important to make sure that your career lasts long. And also, man, I'm just in a whole different mindset. Like, back when I was an amateur, I was just coming up, I was just so angry. I just had so much going on in my life, you know. I was just mad at the world, and now I'm just at peace. Honestly, I'm just at peace with the world. I'm at peace with myself, and yeah, I'm just happy to be where I'm at in life, honestly.
Yeah, I love hearing that, man, and it really comes across in a lot of regards. But like earlier in the conversation, you were touching on how this fight kind of has a unique, kind of localized timeline to yourself, because you were saying when you were 19, you called out your upcoming opponent to fight, and he was like, oh, you're a scrub, like, you'll never be on my level. If we do fight, you know, he'd smoke you, like, things to that effect. Like, can you offer up a little insight on the backstory there between yourself and your opponents? It seems like it's been kind of brewing for a few years now.
Yeah, well, I had my first amateur title fight coming up, and he had put up his fight against Shane Sargent. That's his last fight. And I felt like Jorge Pierre, even though I was amateur, I had no pro fights at all. I just wasn't impressed with it. I just seen it, and I'm like, man, that just looks like you're beating up a scrub. That's pretty easy, man. Like, you are fighting a dude that has no wins. You have no amateur career at all. You know, like, I have to make my way up in order to go pro. And he just jumped right into the pro leagues against scrubs, which is how you make yourself look really good to come up as a pro. But, you know, I called him out, and he said to me those exact things. And he said, I got to get my record up as a pro. And then it's just crazy. It really is the butterfly effect. Now I'm fighting him in his hometown, and I'm going to go whoop his ass, take his O, and take that belt. And it's just awesome because, you know, this is how the world works. You know, he's saying to me, be careful what you ask for. Well, the last time that we talked, like 5 years ago when I called him out, he said he's one fight away from the UFC. He's one fight away from the UFC or being in the Dana White Contender Series. And now, look, it's been 5 years. I have more fights. This is my sixth fight. I have more fights than him in the last 2 years than he's had in his whole pro career. It's like, you're a wannabe fighter. That's what I call those people. They're a wannabe fighter. They get to walk around their town because he lives out in Sacramento, trains that Team Alpha Male. So he gets to tell people, I'm a pro fighter. It's awesome. But guess what I am? I'm going to be a world champion come fight night, and he's going to figure that out the hard way.
Yeah, he hasn't competed in a decent while either, I've noticed, like about 4.5 years there. But yeah, I mean, in looking at his record too, it looks like he's that 100% finishing rate. But it doesn't seem like you're particularly impressed by that. Maybe the quality of competition wasn't there in your estimation across the four first round finishes there.
Yeah, man, it's just like, I have two first round finishes against real national ranked opponents. Like the dude that I beat, Sam Panitz, that he was making his pro debut, but he was 13-1 and had four different amateur belts in four different organizations. So that's a real opponent. And the guy that I beat, Mike Tabera, he's fought for Combate, and he comes from a world class gym. He comes from MMA gold. So he's, whether he has this great record or not, that's a real fighter right there. So yeah, my competition compared to his is a lot different. You know, I went down to Miami, whether I won or lost, I fought a 3-0 opponent that comes from a world-class gym on UFC Fight Pass. So, you know, and for my debut, I fought a dude that has way more fights than me on King of the Cage on national television. So I've been here, I've done this. He doesn't know what it feels like. It's been 5 years. It's all going to be new to him all over. I just did this a couple months ago. So this is, it's all in my favor. All the pressure's on him. He's supposed to win this fight. He's 5-0. I'm coming off a loss. So let the pressure be on him. And it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be awesome when I get this KO or submission. And I come back and I say, and new.
Yeah, and it seems like the title is a very important kind of distinction just in terms of like representing the progression in the career, and just like the last one being the title bid, where I imagine that'd be frustrating in a certain sense, where you probably wanted to show off the skills a little bit more. Like, I mean, obviously the winning and losing is kind of like you learn from it either way, but just the opportunity to show the skills even further there. And just, we also talked about the, I guess, personal connection with the opponent here. So kind of an interesting fight in a few regards. It's like there's the redemptive kind of component with the title being on the line again, getting another crack at that hardware there, but also just the maybe validation kind of component potentially coming from like a trash talking opponent from years back. So can you kind of talk about those facets and maybe just your general temperament and the mindset leading into it?
Yeah, man, honestly, for my last like 3 fights, I have had no problems with my opponents at all. Like, you know, I have had no animosity with them. And it's not that I need to have animosity with my opponents or some type of beef with them for me, in order for me to like, yeah, to light some fire under my ass. No, that's not what it is. It's just, it makes me want to whoop his ass a little more. It really does. Like, he's been talking shit. And, you know, when somebody runs their mouth, we get to step into the cage against each other. So no matter what no matter what's been said against each other, it's all going to be hashed out come fight night. And I'm like, I'm not planning on shaking hands with him afterwards. I don't plan on being friends with him afterwards, especially because of what's been said between us. But at the end of the day, we get to fight. So, you know, I'm completely fine with the war of words. I'm completely fine with the mental warfare. I love it. Honestly, I really love it. Especially because for my last 3 opponents, I have had no beef with them. So now it's just really just like, I really just want to sock his freaking jaw off his face. And that's what I'm going to do. I get to do it fight night. And 12 days, I get to do it. So, yeah, and I'm just, again, whether it's for this fight or in life, I'm just at peace. I'm just so relaxed and so calm. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Everybody has nerves. I've had nerves, especially for this fight, coming up fight. It's a big fight for me, you know, it's a big deal. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. It's just, I'm at peace. Those nerves, they come and go. It's like Wusa, just come and go. In with the air, out with the air. So all I gotta do, breathe in, breathe out. And you know, I have a clear mentality for this fight. I know what I have to do. It's very simple. Get my hand raised. It doesn't matter what it's by. It doesn't matter by knockout, submission, by decision. All I have to do is fight this man for 25 minutes or less and get my belt. And that's what's going to happen. I'm going to get my belt. Mark my words.
Yeah, and last time we were talking, you were working with Ishmael White a fair bit, it seemed like. Is that still kind of the training dynamic leading into this one? Like, where are you honing the skills ahead of this one?
Yeah, I have my head MMA coach, Ishmael White. He's helping me with my MMA striking overall, and his eyes, he's able to see certain things and just able to fix a lot of things that help me with my fight game in general, whether it be on the ground, in the clinch, standing up. He just helps me out overall. And then I have my boxing coach that, since the last time we talked, I wasn't working with him full time, but now I have a full time boxing coach that I've been working with for the last 2 years. Every day, 6 days out of the week, I'm working with him, whether it be just boxing or he's helping me with, he's now being able to transfer over into being an MMA boxing coach. So he's able to see things like, don't do this or don't do that, because in boxing it will get you caught. Those are my main striking coaches right there. And then I got 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. I'm over there a couple of days out of the week doing my jiu-jitsu, helping me out. They got some great, just great coaching in general, honestly. Like, if anybody's ever in town, make sure to stop by either one of those gyms. My main gym, Equip Academy, out in Gresham, Oregon, or Portland, Oregon. It's close to Gresham. And 10th Planet Portland. Both of those gyms, literally, you could get your striking at 10th Planet, but I recommend going to my gym because, you know, I got some great coaching, great coaches for striking. And then you get great no-gi jiu-jitsu, which has helped me for my MMA overall game. And, yeah, man, that's who I've been working with. And, you know, I do my own thing with my strength and conditioning. Honestly, I'm at a low weight class. So I'm at flyweight. I don't like lifting weights. I don't like I really don't like doing too much, honestly, because I train so much. So if you train 6 days out of the week, there's like, you only have so much time in a day, you know? Especially because I'm working part-time. You know, I have a job. I have other things to do. I have a life outside of fighting. My life does revolve around fighting, but I'm an adult, you know? So I have other things going on. And it's just like, you got to find time for the things that are truly important. And I feel like the most – Darren Till really made a valid point about this. He said this. He's like, you could do all the strength and conditioning you want. You could do all the pad work you want. You could do all that, right? But the most important things, really, honestly, are sparring, getting your cardio right, which is running, and, you know, working with real coaches that are able to help you out in overall, like, your overall game. That's what you need. You need to be progressing, especially when you're a pro. You need to get better and better and better. And that's what I feel like I've been doing, especially the last couple months. I've really, I'll just be able to show you fight night. I've just really worked on a lot, and I can't wait to show everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of you were talking earlier about just like being familiarized with certain big stages and big opportunities, and just cool to see you, you know, back on UFC Fight Pass for this one after the, you know, Titan FC foray previously. So some familiarity there as well, no doubt. But yeah, this is a fun fight and really looking forward to peeping it, man. But I also want to be mindful of your time and the rest of your schedule and all that too, Keanu. So is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping things up here, man?
Oh, man. Honestly, I just thank you for having me on the show once again. It's always awesome talking to you. You're a freaking really dope person. You know, all your posts on Instagram crack me up, and it's just been awesome to follow you throughout your career, just like how you've been following me. It's really awesome to see people that you talked with when we were both making our way up, and now we are, where we should be, and it's really awesome. And I always want to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, none of this would be possible. I wouldn't be here, and I'm just truly blessed. I want to give a shout-out to my coaches, Ishmael White, George Gonzalez, and my main gym, Equip Academy, and 10th Planet Portland. Thank you guys so much for helping me out. Honestly, I feel like I've grown so much with having... You know, it really does. They say it takes a village to raise a child. I'm no longer a child, but really, I'm a pro fighter. And really, I thank everybody so much. Everybody that helps me out. It doesn't matter if it's an up and comer. It doesn't matter if this person has just began. I really am so thankful for everybody in the MMA community that has helped me out, especially in my community out here in Portland. And I want to give a shout out to my mama. Thank you so much, Mom, for raising me into the person that I am, to the man that I am. I thank you so much. You're a great person. You taught me how to be a hard worker, to work for everything that I want. And I just love you so much. Thank you for everything. And shout out to my pops. You're a great father. You're awesome. You're a great dude. And I can't wait to come out to Colorado and bring my belt out to the restaurant that you own, Millside Inn, one day. And I want to give a shout out to my sponsors as well. Can't forget them. You know, without them, I wouldn't be fighting all the time. I've had fucking 5 fights. This will be my 6th fight. Yeah, this will be my 6th fight within the last 2 years because of them. So I would not be fighting if it was not for them. Thank you so much to PDX Sliders. You guys have been sponsoring me since literally my third amateur title fight. That's been years ago. I thank you guys so much. You guys are so awesome. Shout out to Ryan Rollins. You are the boss, man. You are the dopest. Thank you so much. I remember growing up in that community over there in the Selwood community, going to the Boys and Girls Club, and now I'm sponsored by a local business right there. So that's really awesome, man. I'm so thankful. They have 2 different locations. One in Selwood, Moreland location, and they also have one in Southeast Portland. If you're ever in town, make sure to check them out. If you live in Portland and you haven't been there, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Make sure to go there ASAP. I got to give a shout out to Ready Player Cards as well. They are my other sponsor. My older brother owns that company. It's a small local business out here in Portland, Oregon that sells Pokemon cards, Dragon Ball Z cards, UFC cards. Any type of card you could think of, you could get it from them. And they also help me with my merchandise for my fight as well. So if you want to pick up a sweater or any shirts, you can hit them up. And yeah, man, I'm super stoked. Seriously. 12 days until they say, and the new.
Yeah, it's going to be a sweet fight. And yeah, people can check that out via UFC Fight Pass, as I was saying earlier. It goes down on May the 29th. And yeah, going to be cool to see that A1C Flyweight Championship fight against Jack Duffy there. And thanks for coming on the show again, Keanu. And just looking forward to peeping the fight. You enjoy the rest of your day too, though, man.
Awesome. Thank you for having me again. Seriously, man. And yeah, you enjoy your day as well.